the body a great purpose in Colossians. Chapter number 1, if you'd stand with us, you need a little exercise anyway. Colossians 1. Next Sunday's Easter, isn't that amazing? Glad he got out of the grave. Wouldn't stay dead. Colossians 1, verse number 10. Colossians 1 and 10. He said that you might walk worthy of the Lord, to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Lord, I'm about to shout right there. I remember one morning I was setting up a deer stand. I was reading that verse. Man, the Holy Ghost got to dealing with my heart. Boy, God is my witness. I looked down there, He stood right under my tree, and I was so full of God, I couldn't hardly do nothing. I was just shouting the victories. Ain't you glad that He saved you by His grace? It's marvelous, wonderful grace. The Bible said, whom we have redemption through His blood, who's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. No such thing as Darwin theory, honey. And He is before all things. And watch this, it ain't even about you. And by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body. There's that word, the church. Who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Thank God. By Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Thank you for standing this morning. You may be seated. I'm interested in verse 18 where He said He's the head of the body, the church. The body, a great purpose. Why has God saved me and you? I got to thinking and a wondering. Now, we are many members, but yet one body. As Christ is the head, it's not Murfreesboro, it's not Nashville, it's not the Southern Baptist Convention, but it is Christ of the head. You say, well, preacher, what's other churches think? I really don't care. But I do care what He thinks because He's the head. I'll be honest with you. I'll be sweet as I can. I really don't even, not even really care a lot about what you think. But I am most concerned of what He thinks this morning. You know, if I thought He wanted this building purple polka dot, we'd go get some purple polka dots and watch you grumble and mumble. But if God wants it, I think that just ought to be exactly what we want this morning, because it's all about Him. He's the head. It don't matter what your family thinks about where you go to church. It does not matter what your neighbor thinks, but it all has to do with what He thinks this morning. Very important what the head thinks. Now, I've noticed, what is our purpose of being here? I'm glad God saved me. I'll never forget the day the Lord saved me. Everybody I run into, I was telling them, man, the Lord saved me. My sins are gone. I was so thrilled, and I want to say, I'm still thrilled. I never got over the day that the Lord saved me. But now that I've been a walking with the Lord a few years, I got to sort of putting this message together, and God got to dealing with my heart. Well, what's the purpose of the body? A lot of churches have no purpose, no vision, no priorities. But oh, honey, if God saved you, He saved you just not to get you out of hell, but He saved you for a purpose. I want to say He saved us because He loved us. Ain't you glad somebody loved you when you was unlovable? Aren't you glad that Jesus hung on a cross and died for you when you knew nothing about the grace of God? He let you sit under old time Holy Ghost preaching, dealt with your heart by the grace of God, drew you in the family of God. You said that eternal yes, and He saved you, and hell moved out and heaven moved in. Oh, we're ever indebted to His good grace this morning. I'll never forget the day the Lord saved me. But I want to say this, I believe we have a great purpose as a body. I don't know of a better church in the Southeast than Liberty Baptist Church. I know I'm partial, I know I'm prejudiced, I ought to be, I'm the pastor. But I'm going to tell you something, you go to a good church. When you pull in this parking lot this morning, you ought to shout in the victory, say hallelujah. I know some left, they shouted, and I left too. And I shouted when I left. Let me say that again. They shouted when they left, and I shouted when they left. My blood sugar's getting a little low. Anybody got a piece of chicken? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm telling you this morning, we got a great purpose in the family of God. We're not here to pet on each other. We're not here to brag on each other. We ain't here to sing happy birthday to Aunt Sally. We ain't here to vote and to vote about doing right. If we can't, honey, you ain't got to vote to do right. Just do right for the grace of God. I'm glad to go to just one of them do right churches. Just do right and God will handle it and God will see about it. And so I want to ask you this morning, what's our purpose? And the body of Christ. I want to say, I believe one of our first purposes is to learn to depend. The Bible said in Colossians 1 and verse number 18, He is the head of the body, the church who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. I'm going to tell you, it's no use in worrying about the situation. I want to tell you there is a Jesus in this Bible that you can depend on. You can't depend on me, can't depend on you, can't depend on the Baptist, but honey, you can depend on Jesus this morning. Jesus will never fail you. If people get a hold of Jesus, they'd clean out the AAA clinics. If people get a hold of Jesus, they wouldn't need Dr. Phil or Aunt Sally. They sure, Lord, wouldn't know Oprah. She don't even know if Jesus is the way. And you ought to cut that woman off your TV this morning. She won't even confess Jesus is the only way. So just read them little emails I sent out to you the other night and I couldn't sleep. By their great purpose. You can depend. We're called, I believe, as a purpose to depend on Him. The head is never far apart from the body. The brain dictates and the body responds. Now I want you to see there, there's only one head to a body. There ain't six heads, there ain't two heads. That's what's wrong with the average Baptist church this morning. They got so many people running things, they running in a circle, chasing their tail like a little poodle dog. They can't never go no place because they all tied up on who's going to be the head. I've never seen the likes of how many people thinks they to run the church. Honey, Jesus is to run the church. The method and the ministry of the New Testament church is Jesus is the head. He is the great shepherd. And that pastor's just a little under shepherd. So I've noticed when you got a committee, you got 8 or 10 different opinions. And you just got a bunch of squabbles and it's pitiful this morning. But I'm going to tell you something. He is the head. Now, I said today that Our great purpose is to depend. Do you depend upon the Lord? You see, He is the head. He's never far apart from the body. The brain dictates and the body responds. When my head tells my body something, then it responds if everything is right. It tells me right now to raise my hand. I got motor skills today. I'm glad that my head is running this body. Aren't you glad you go to a church where He, the head, is running the body? Boy, I'd hate to know I had my children sitting under six or seven old men that was gambling, cussing, running around living like the devil, buying lottery tickets, buying dirty books, making ugly phone calls, talking and going. I'm just glad I'm not in all that. My Lord, I was coming home last night. I looked down at a little church lit up. I told my wife, I said, I could be down there tied up with them bunch of old moss backs. I could be down there fussing and a fighting, but He thought so much of us. He put us in the family of God, put us in a good church. I say, glory, glory, glory. I'm glad He's the head this morning, friend. And you'll never go wrong following Him as your head. If we'll just listen to Him, we'll never go wrong in this body. Boy, and listen, He can figure everything out. When you don't know what to do, He knows what to do. So we must, as a body and a purpose, learn to depend. We've got to depend upon the headship of Christ. It don't matter what I think. Don't matter what you think. But it is very important of what He thinks. I'm going to tell you one thing, honey. Faith is never, ever easy. Faith is never, ever, ever convenient. But if He says to do something, strike out and do it. So we see that we must depend upon this head. I want to say that He plans for the body. He directs the body. He guides the body. He inspires the body. He activates the body and He drives the body. Why, this morning I was feeling so dead and the choir got to singing. That choir helped me singing this morning. Aren't you glad that the head knows what you need? When you got out of that car this morning, He had things planned out for us. He knows what we need. He knows what you need tomorrow, what's coming around the corner, and you can depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ for everything in your life. When we get in trouble, when we do it, and we don't wait on the Lord, or we get ahead of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, honey, He's so big you cannot miss Him. If you'll find yourself doing the will of God instead of trying to find the will of God, He's so big you'll never miss Him, because He's a wonderful headship in the body of Christ. When we get in problems, we try to fix it. We try to tell Him what we need. If we just start praying, oh dear God, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Honey, not only will it change our situation, it'll change us. We ought to quit praying about what we know and turn it loose and give it to the God of the Bible. Say, dear God, You know everything I need in my life. You know everything we need in our church. We just trust in You this morning. If somebody can be trusted. Our purpose is to depend upon Him. And then, secondly, I believe that our purpose ought to be that of not only to depend, but it also ought to be to develop. The body must develop. Now, aren't you glad that you've grown in the Lord? Thank God to develop. In Ephesians 4 and verse 15, about the body. Ephesians 4. And verse 15. Isn't it amazing the way little young'uns grow? You can go buy them a pair of shoes. They'll be done outgrow them by the time you're home from Walmart. Ain't it amazing the way we outgrow things? I just want to ask you something this morning. I wonder, since you've come here and you're placed in the body of Christ, are you still wearing the clothes you used to wear? You're still wearing the thing. Do they still fit the way you come in? Man, when I got married, I was a lean, mean, fighting machine. 180 pounds, I'm telling you. I was had me a head full of hair. But I noticed, Brother David, my wife got to cooking now. I got on up to about 2, 205, 210, 215, 220. One Christmas I hit 248. I said, praise God. Ain't you cooking good? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying I found out I was a growing because I couldn't wear what I used to wear. If you still sitting around whining, sucking your thumb, need you a passy because you don't understand things. You just want them little Baptists need your diaper changed. You ain't growed. Hey, hey, hey. We need to develop in the house of the Lord and say, praise you, good night. I'm glad I'm growing by your grace. Yeah. While some of you'd hang around, this preaching may grow on you. You ain't got enough stick'em in your britches to hang around for preaching, so you can't get no help. You need some stick'em in your britches. It'll help you. Hey, hey, we need to develop as the body of Christ. Ain't you glad that you've grown out of some of them old things you was raised in? I'm about ready to run. I didn't think I had nothing to preach this morning. I got up and went to preaching. I'm so glad I done growed up and got out of something. Thank God I've growed up out of a conference. Thank the Lord. I'm glad I've grown up out of some legalism. Oh, I'm glad I'm growing by the good grace of God. I believe it's our purpose to develop. Are you developing any? You'll never develop unless you get around the Word of God. Boy, I've heard what Grandma and Grandpa said, but I found out a lot of it wasn't in the Bible. Never understood why this part of the country thought 6-7 men was to run the church. It's unbiblical. Said he's the head. He runs things. Never understood why everybody just vote on everything doing. I never understood all them, that concept of ministry. But oh, ain't it a blessing you can grow up into him, into all things. Now let's look and see what the Bible says. I love what he says about this developing business. Ephesians 4 and verse number 15, the Bible said this. He said, but speaking the truth in love that we may grow up into him. Now we're not to grow like him, but we're to grow up into him. We're to grow up to be just the way he is. To grow into him. See, I want to say this. He's got a whole lot of room that you can grow up into him. How big's he, preacher? Bigger than any of us will ever know. You say, well, preacher, I wonder if I get in him, will there be any room to grow? Oh, there'll be more room for you to grow than you ever thought. If you'll just grow up into him, what he said. Oh, this morning, how we need to develop ourselves in the body of Christ. We must be developed in the house of God. These little winds of doctrine ought to not throw us and get us off course. These things that come along, these storms in life. Listen, if you notice yesterday, storms came all day long. All day long. You know how I knew they was coming? Because I had the weatherman on TV telling me they was coming. Now listen, there's a whole lot of men that talk about the weather. But there's only one that can talk to the weather. And I'm glad I know the weatherman. I tell you something better than TV this morning, the KJV. Told me storms are coming. They come to develop us. They come to groom us and to school us and to make better people out. I don't understand why bad things has got to happen to good people, but I know they do. I've been reading about our brother Job in the Bible this week. Friend, he was the fairest man of the East. Nobody was like him, what the Holy Ghost said. But bad things come to where he lived. And Job replied, he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm glad the body can be developed. Are you growing in the Lord? Grow up into him. Our purpose is to develop. Oh, can I say we ought to develop in growth? But secondly, we ought to develop in grace. The Bible said in 2 Peter chapter number 3, in verse number 18, he said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. But grow in grace. Not only do we need to develop growth, we need to develop grace. We need some grace about it. Nobody's perfect this morning. I'm going to tell you, you have unperfect children. And I've noticed this. You better be careful about saying yours ain't going to do this. And yours won't do. I never will forget. My youngest growing up, I said, they ain't putting no phone in their room. We ain't putting no TV in their room. Now we got a TV in every house and a phone in every room. What are you saying, preacher? Be careful what you say. He'll come back and get a hold of you. Oh, we need to be growing in grace. Have some grace about each other. Brother Mike said this morning, why not be backbiting and tail bearers? And you can't help nobody talking about them. Some of you go home, you eat preacher for lunch. I hope you get choked this morning. Some of y'all spend enough time praying about me instead of talking about it, you may get a new preacher around here. Pray for one another. Love each other. Grow in grace. Boy, I'm glad I seen this thing of grace. Do you think we deserve to get saved? No, no. God loved us enough. He overlooked who He was. Saved us by His mercy and His grace. We need some grace. He said, let your speech always be seasoned with grace. You need that salt. Make it go down better sometime. Oh my, we need to grow in this thing of grace. You know something? God took you just the way you was, but He loves you so much He's not going to let you stay that way. He's going to grow you in grace. The body, a great purpose, a purpose to depend, a purpose to develop. We ought to be more developed this morning in the things of God. Can you remember when worship was first introduced to you? Aren't you glad you've grown in worship? I'm going to tell you something. This is what's amazing about worship. You won't worship unless trials hit you. You won't worship unless you're hurting. You look all through that Bible, honey. People only worshiped when they was a hurting. See, when we're on cloud nine, you're not going to worship. Well, you may praise God some, but I'm talking about genuinely worship. Giving Him the worth of it all. He'll be sure the air gets knocked out of your sails so He gets all the honor and all the glory. Oh, we must grow in worship. We must grow in the Word. Aren't you glad now you can find a book in the Bible? Some of you came and you didn't even know where Genesis was. Grow in Word. Aren't you glad some of you are growing in work? We're going to see how much you grow next time we have a fellowship. How many stays after to mop up? People just boil in, boil out. Boy, wasn't that nice. You don't care if it's two left to midnight cleaning up. Grow and work. A lot of grow and work. Thank God we can grow and work. Grow and witness. Remember when you... too scared to say something about Jesus now, it just comes right out. Thank God you've developed in the body of Christ. Oh, He wants us to grow in the Lord and grow spiritually. Get over this whining and this kid business. Oh my, we must develop. A great purpose is to depend. Depend upon. Are you depending on Him this morning? He wants us to. You know something? He wants the honor and the glory out of everything. People that's so amazed that come to this facility, well, they'd think, sure, all the Joneses go to church here. But you know something? If the Joneses all flocked in here, then they'd get all the credit. Or the Kennedys, or... let me tell you something, honey. Look around. We ain't got no credit for nothing. To Him be the... He said, by all things they consist. You know who pays the light bill around here? He does. You know who helps these missionaries out of this church? He does. Ain't you glad He knows when to give and what to give and who to give? Well, I'm glad all that ain't on my shoulders. Don't you understand when God nudges my heart, I'm just trying to follow Him. Boy, ain't it wonderful to develop. I mean, some of us ought to be shouting this morning that God's developed us. Can you look back and see
how tied up you was? Can you look back really to see how weak you was? Now, God's developed. Man, ain't that choir singing? Choir been a blessing me last couple, son. You think you doing that? He's a doing that. So we ought to develop. Our purpose is to depend to develop. And then, I want to close with this. I believe one of the great purposes we have is to display. In Colossians 1, verse 24, Colossians 1 and 24. The Bible said, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." He said, "Whereof I'm made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." The only method God uses reaching men and women are men and women. He uses Christians as the method to reaching sinners. God didn't just save you to sit on a pew. He saved you that you might depend upon Him. He saved you that He may develop you. And then thirdly, He saved me and you that we may display Him in a lost and a dying world. Oh, what a great purpose we have to display Him. You see, first of all, He said the hope of glory, the Christ that is in you. We ought to display a life. A life. The hope of glory. Aren't you glad that you've got hope this morning? We ought to be witnessing to sinners and telling them there's life through Christ. There's joy unspeakable and full of glory in Christ. You remember how many of you was looking for happiness in a bottle or in things and drugs? But now you don't have them things, but you're the happiest person you've ever been in your life on the inside. People in this world is searching for things they will not find that brings happiness. Only Christ gives peace. You know, I'm telling you this morning, we are to display a life that is set forth in front of a Christian, in front of a sinner, letting them know that we are a Christian and there is happiness in being saved by the grace of God. Nobody told me I couldn't have a good time being a Christian. I'd have a good time playing golf. Open that tailgate. You'll see a set of Callaways there. I'm not ashamed. I play golf, hunt, and fish. I have a life. You think I'm supposed to be some hermit throwed up in a corn crib with blinders on? Honey, I've got a life, and I got a good life. And it's fun being a Christian. Me and my family can go on vacation. I can be a Christian. That's what's wrong with people now that they don't really say. They're looking at people been eating gravel, gravy, and sawbriars all their life. Well,
praise Him, praise Him, praise Him.
It's fun being a Christian. It's wonderful the God of heaven would save something like us and keep us saved. It's wonderful to be a Christian. I'd rather be a Christian than anything I know. Thank God. We're on display. We ought to share a life. And then we ought to be sharing a letter. What kind of letter? 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. Look what Paul said. I'll be closing down. 2 Corinthians 3. I want Miss Julie to come sing a song this morning. Close if she would. 2 Corinthians. I want you to look in chapter number 3. Verse number 1, Paul's writing now. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? Verse 2, display. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. And you better not forget that, honey. You're the only book, you're the only Bible a lot of people will ever read. They know you go to church, how you act. They know you're supposed to be a Christian, what you're talking like. Oh, we must display a life. We must display this letter written in the hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's amazing to me. I wish they didn't, but it never changed the fact. Listen to me. People watch as a preacher. They watch a preacher. I mean, it's really not fair. It's not fair. Don't you think a preacher got temper? Problems? But that don't make it right. People's watching you, and they're watching me. I can't tell you how many times God's given me the opportunity to witness by things that was presented to me that I could have got ahead. My wife, power company, this week, since she had $300 credit on a computer. Well, y'all have been shouting the victory. You know what my wife is doing? She called down there and said, "This ain't our credit." She said, "Oh, yeah, you walked in, give us $300 cash." She said, "I ain't never got $300 cash." So then you know what the woman done? She debited her account, made her $150 short. Miss Renee is upset. And now at 8 o'clock Monday morning, they're going to get a phone call from Miss Renee. But if she could have kept her mouth shut, she's saying, "No, I'm a Christian. That's not my money. It's not my money." You know, you'll never know what God will allow if you'll just be a Christian and be a letter and let people see that Bible in you, what kind of influence you'd have where you work, where you live. We must display. We ought to be a Christian every place that we go. I'll never forget, I pulled out of a convenience store one day. Looked in the road, there was a billfold. Man, I got excited. There was money flopping out of it. I picked it up and I counted. There was $100, another $100. There was six of them in there. I said, "Praise God." And you know the next thing I said, "Oh, I hope his license ain't in this thing." Yeah. Holy Ghost said, "Look back there in that back compartment." I pulled it out. There he was grinning at me. Well, I called him. I said, "Sir, I got something you lost. You got my billfold?" He said, "I was putting my baby in the car and laid my billfold up on top, got the baby buckled in, pulled out." I said, "Yeah, it fell right out in the road when you turned going the street." He said, "How can I meet you?" I said, "I'm waiting here on you. Come on." Well, he got there. Brother Mike, I'll never forget. I grabbed it. I said, "Sir, as far as I know, this is everything that was in it." I said, "I ain't let it out of my sight." I said, "But I want you to know something." I said, "A few years ago, God saved me." I said, "If he hadn't have saved me, you'd have never got this billfold back." You know what the devil said? "Keep it. Nobody gonna know that. Try and be a Christian." I wondered that impact that man. Wonder did it impact that man that I stole from when I was 16 years old. One night I was preaching in a revival meeting. The Holy Ghost said, "You go drive to Murfreesboro where you stole from that man. You apologize. Tell him I saved you and you hand that money back to him." And that's what I did. I had to pull my head down, but that's what I did. I was ashamed. That's a shame. But honey, when I left out of there, I rode down there with a big bird. But when I left, I could have walked back to Georgia. A life
read by all men. Boy, I got one of the biggest tempers. And I'm telling you, I got it honest, but that ain't no stinking excuse. My people's geared so tight, they'd fight a circle saw. That ain't no excuse, and I'd act an idiot. It's easy to act wrong. It's easy to do wrong. It takes a Christian to do right, to go against this old stuff. Read by all men. I wonder who's reading you. Brother Chris knows this to be true. We work with a man. He'd been watching me at work, had a Bible on my desk. He said, "Tell me about that Bible." I began to preach to him. I never forget. So me and Walt in the office, I closed my Bible, put it aside. He said, "What's the matter? Are you ashamed?" I said, "No, I ain't ashamed." Opened my Bible, began to preach to him. Never forget what he done. He walked out of the door facing my office. He turned around in front of them visitors from another plant. He looked and he said, "Preacher, I can tell you one thing. If I die and go to hell, I can say I had a good time." I said, "Yep, you had a good time." Brother Gerald, next morning about 1:30, I carried a beeper then. The beeper went off. It is the old boy. He said, "You know, I went to the bar tonight and they served me a drink, and as I was stirring my drink, all I could see is you telling me I was going to hell." He said, "I've been watching you." He said, "Would the Lord save me?" I said, "Sure would. Sure would." God saved him that morning. And I believe with all my heart He saved us to be on display. Every place we go, they watch it. When I go out chatter down that street, people pass. They say, "That's that preacher down there at that white church." Brother Adam, sometimes I'm tired. I just love to just not have no responsibilities and just go someplace nobody knowed me. But God knows me over there. How's your display, Christian? Wonder how many people you could win to Christ if you'd really live it in front of them and brag on Him and love them. That's all they do and want some compassion, some love. Invite them to church. What got you saved? Somebody telling you how vile and how awful you are? Or did somebody give you a little glimmer of hope? Oh, Brother Earl, preaching Sunday, told Brother Dennis I went to that revival Monday night and I noticed him oozing out of me. I was a better man because I'd got around somebody like that. How's your life, Christian? How's your life, really? Well, Jesus said we ought to turn up our lamps and shine. Be a light on a hillside. Display by life. Display by letter. Display by love. Jesus said, "If you have love for one another, then shall all men know you're my disciples." Glad to go to church where there's some love at. You say, "Preacher, I don't like all that hugging, that handshake." I'm sorry, that's just who we are. Ain't no big uns. Ain't no little uns. He's the head, we're the body.
What are we going to do for him? I want to say this now. I pinned it down. I wasn't going to use it, but I'm going to say this, and I'm going to give an altar call. My sister's going to say. He uses his body as the vehicle of expression. He has no eyes but our eyes to look through. He has no lips but our lips to speak through. He has no hands but our hands to work through. He has no feet but our feet to walk through. He has no hearts but our hearts to love through. You know what saved the rough old boys sitting around here this morning? Love won them. When I was a heathen, nobody had to come tell me I was a heathen. But I tell you what got me. I heard about somebody that loved me and could fix my wrongs. I believe we saved for a purpose. The body of purpose. What's your heart this morning, Liberty? My sister sings, I've minded the Lord. Would you? Whatever you need, come this morning as we sing. Come. May the Lord help you.